Welcome back, Pierre Bork here at
Hey,
Blockchain
Pierre.
Video. James, how you doing?
I'm over here stepping on your voice already. I guess that's what we get for skipping weeks.
Crazy crossover. That's what this is all about here. James Tiley over at Cyber FM, Pierre Bork here at Blockchain Radio. We are going to cross over and talk. And I don't mind a little bit of stepping over. That's what it's all about. Stepping out. Let's step out. Hey, look at, can I start with this? First of all, the cryptos have been going crazy in the last few weeks, and not in the right direction for those that invest in it, especially those who have bought high and now are looking to sell low. Buy high, sell low is not the mantra that you espouse to when you're trying to make some wealth creation. What do you make of all of what's going on, James? And what do you hear?
Well, you know, trading wise, I feel like it was kind of written on the wall. You know, all of them were pretty much overbought or oversold or whatever. I got it all backwards right now. See, that's how much of a mess it is. The stock, I'm too technical, right? The stochastic RSI was well over 100 for so long that it had to crash down. Kind of saw that coming. Not sure if I thought I would have seen it with every single crypto, but apparently it's every single crypto.
Yeah, it's every single crypto. That's a lot of people. Look, you know, people have this FOMO, fear of missing out. And when things started to rocket upwards after last October, 8 months or so ago, and saying, oh, I got to buy in on this. I got to buy in. They're buying in at, you know, they're buying in at 20 grand. They're buying in at 30 grand. They're buying in at 40 grand. They're buying in at 50 grand. They're maxing their credit cards out at 60 grand. And I'm talking Bitcoin here. And now, as we speak, it's $32,000. I would think there are a lot of people, a lot of companies, a lot of companies. There's this company, we hear about it and we see them on CNBC from time to time, a company called MicroStrategy. And their MicroStrategy has been to go big on Bitcoin. Just buy it and hold it. Hey, whatever their business was before, they, what the heck, we'll just hold and pool this stuff. And not only that, do they buy big on the way up, much higher than the 32,000 we're seeing right now, but they bought on the way down at much higher than what we're seeing now at 32,000. At some point, do the chickens not come home to roost for those that have invested high as things head down?
Well, you know, these really, really rich people, they know every tax incentive in the world, right? They know how to write off purposeful losses. They know X amount's going to go somewhere, or they've made so much for one tax year. Now, think about that. You said MicroStrategy, right? So chances are their fiscal tax year is not like an individual, right? Not December to not January to December, but a lot of corporate fiscal tax years start around March. What did you see happen in March? March was the top. April, I think it was April 20th or something, was the top. But to start a fresh new fiscal corporate tax year, we've been in the tank.
Well, you know, the other thing too, and I'll just state the obvious, is that the crypto marketplace is global. It there's a lot of foreign investment, a lot of Asian investment, a lot of gray area investments. And so who knows who are the actual owners of this. But if you're a CEO of an American public company, and I haven't really been following the value of MicroStrategy stock, maybe you're closer to a ticker symbol than I am, James, as we speak here. But at some point, you're going to have to respond to your board and say, you know, remember we bought all those Bitcoin at 50,000, and remember those great clips of me on CNBC crowing about it was going to go to 100,000. Gee, right now it's 32,000, and maybe whoop-de-doo is going to go down to 23,000. What happens to those people? What happens to those individuals that bet the farm?
I don't really know. I think that. So what I've been focusing on in terms of finance is that we've watched almost $1 trillion exit the market, right? And there's a tremendous difference there. When you watch a $1 trillion go into Tether, you say to yourself, okay, that's money waiting to go back into Bitcoin. But we saw $1 trillion leave the physical market. So I think that a lot of this, yeah, MicroStrategy and Elon Musk with Tesla putting Bitcoin on their books, I'm not so sure that that's the real numbers. I think it was people. I think it was the Dogecoin drive. I think it was the Shibu Inu. A lot of these odd cryptos came out that personally I don't think were anything, right? They were just there for the purpose of making money. And I think that's where it failed and people physically left. This is almost $1 trillion no longer accounted for in the crypto world. I think it's humans. I think it's people.
Well, humans are at the mercy and at the whim of what's going on here. Anyways, it's interesting. Look, it's interesting. It is the backbone as far as storyline goes when it comes to crypto is at any given moment. It's kind of like asking a Canadian, how are things going? They're going to start talking to you about the weather. Maybe as Floridians will do the same because weather changes so quickly down there. All right, that aside, I'm reminded of a while back, you and I spoke here on Blockchain Radio of your own coin that you were having some fun with. It was a game. And I don't mean the Cyber FM coin, but there was another coin that you were dealing with. Are you still working with that? Is that still out there in the great ether?
So you mean, you talk about Hot Potato?
Yeah.
That was a fun one, right? Hot Potato. That token in its prime, right? It was a $3 million token on Uniswap. And it died. The game, it's obviously the website is alive. The game is, you could play that game right now if you wanted to. Because it never really finished. Because you know, with Hot Potato, you have to be the last man standing. And unfortunately, there's a last 100 people standing still. So the game is not over for all intents and purposes. Legally, it's not over. But it took a very hard hit with gas fees. We created that game when gas fees were just initially on the rise. It's been that long. And it's only now that Ethereum gas fees are finally starting to come back to, and there's a catch 22 there as well, right? If your gas fees are, and look, I'm wrong. Right now, gas prices are 188, 150. That might be something to talk about later. But when gas fees were 10 last week or 2 weeks ago, when it came back to normal, you thought to yourself, well, Ethereum and all of these tokens, they may come back, right? All of everybody, because there was a migration over to Binance for a while. Everybody was going to that Binance smart chain and people were leaving Ethereum because of the gas prices. Then it started to subside. And I thought about that with Hot Potato Token. We could turn the game back on. But there's a catch to that. Ethereum was also not $2,000, right? So a gas fee of 10 when Ethereum is $300 is a whole lot better than a gas fee of 10 when Ethereum is $2,000. So yeah. I'm not so sure what the future of...
James, let me ask you in the mind of our listeners here, they're wondering why is that? Like, yeah. Why is it worse? Explain to us why that is.
So gas fees in Ethereum, they call it I pronounce it as a GWEI, G-W-E-I, right? And it's the smallest fraction of an Ethereum. So I guess it's the eighth decimal I think it's the eighth decimal on the Ethereum chain. So if your Ethereum is 2,000 and that makes one GWEI like 20 cents or maybe, yeah, probably 20 cents. But if Ethereum is $200, that makes one GWEI 2 cents. So if one GUI is 20 cents and you're paying, I mean, at one point we were looking at 500 gas prices, 500 GUI. So 20 cents times 500, that's two, four, that's $10, right? Do you want to spend $10 every single time you move a token? Maybe if you're making a lot of money trading, but do you want to spend $10 to play a game?
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the challenge. Look, I had an experience yesterday on OpenSea, and our listeners will know that I'm an artist and a creator, and I've got some of my one-on-one works on Foundation and on Babylon's, which is a Binance chain-based NFT platform. But some of my more multiple, what do you call them, editions, I guess. One of my editions is the 3D glasses edition. And that's on OpenSea, and I was doing some transfers yesterday to my one-on-ones as sort of a bonus. So if you owned one of my one-on-ones, you got one of the editions for free as a bonus. And the gas fees from time to time on OpenSea, I've seen in the last month upwards of $100 per transaction. Yesterday, $2. $2, James. That's what I paid on one of my transactions. And I think at
Right,
the
and that's
highest,
the one you want to jump on.
yeah, and the highest I paid yesterday, because I did three of them, well, the lowest was $2, and the highest one was $4.95. And that was yesterday morning. I tweeted out, I said, it's crazy how low. I don't remember ever seeing it that low. But you're telling me today it's back up. It's gone back up.
I use ethgasstation.info. I try to watch that closely,
Good.
more so because of Cyber FM and. We're always telling the Cyber FM users, oh, gas is down to 10 again. This is a good opportunity to claim your tokens from the previous month, you know, because you gotta pay those fees as well. I think NFTs are a good point. The gas NFTs were hot for a moment. NFTs were the only thing that we were talking about, and then music and radio, NFTs play an important role. But it was costing the artists hundreds of dollars just to roll out an NFT. And I think that made them start second guessing. Are you assured that you're going to make $100 on an NFT that's going to cost you 250 to create? And I think that sort of slowed down the NFT market.
Yeah, and certainly it is hopefully due for a revival, but in the meantime we're in a doldrum here. And you're right. As long as we're talking about NFTs here for a moment, first of all, everybody and their sister came in and said, "I've got an NFT," and then suddenly you had a glut. And then within that, you had the good, the bad, and the ugly. And of course, art's in the eye of the beholder. Collectibles are in the eye of the beholder. So I'll leave it to the individual to decide which one is good, bad, or ugly. But the point is, suddenly there was just this, you know, tremendous amount of various projects. And with the fees going up and people not selling, they're going, well, wait a minute. I thought this was supposed to be the second coming of second coming of Christ, you know, as far as an artist's future. And people just got disillusioned and have moved out, and they said, I'll just stay to what I was doing before. Then you've got a situation, James, where some of the better known, and really we're only talking about an industry that 5 6 months ago, you know, most NFT projects were not expensive to buy and the gas fees were low, as you pointed out. But you have now a situation where the better names in the space, or the more prominent names, the ones that have artworks that sell either in the first market or the secondary market at higher prices, they're now turning to, in many cases, to more established old school auction houses like Christie's and Bonhams and Sotheby's and Phillips. And that's almost turning things under its on its head a bit, because the artists went to the super rares and the nifty gateways and the foundations and the open seas expressly because they wanted to avoid the middle person, the auction houses. And now they're going to the auction houses. What to make of that, just as an outsider looking at that, James?
Well, isn't that just how crypto goes? Remember when Bitcoin came out, damned man, ignore the governments, the people's currency. We don't need no stinking badgers. And now we want Bank of America to get into crypto. Now we want every, you know what I mean? It's the tables turned during the last bull run, I want to say, 2017, 2018, when it was the end of it, 20,000 was the top. Merrill Lynch, save us. And that's what happened with NFTs, right? The record labels are taking control of their own music. The artist is, you know, in control of their own music. They don't need to answer to, oh, never mind. Wait a minute. Let's just go ahead and start accepting the Visa card.
Yeah, and it reminds me of, I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but I got on the internet in 1992. Seems like a long time ago. I guess it was. 1992, I'm a kid with my PowerBook, Mac PowerBook, and it had a modem in it. So off I go. And you had to dial in. You know, you had to dial in. You had to dial into something. Might have been America Online or CompuServe, or in my case, it was the local Freenet that was here in the nation's capital. And from that, I was able to visit and read the Usenet news groups and send email and to a degree do some FTP and whatever. But in those early days, 92, 3, 4, 5, you know, pre-graphical web browser, it was all called the Electronic Commons. You know, it was like information superhighway.
Links. Remember the Lynx browser?
Yeah, the Lynx browser, Infobot. You know, it was supposed to be a non-commercial, non-government, just a place to exchange ideas, to get information. Look how far we've come from then. It's amazing. Things change. Things launch a certain way. People, the early adopters, gravitate to it for a reason. And then suddenly, you know, they rail at the establishment until the establishment accepts them as one of their own and makes it of their own, too. And I think that's what we're seeing in many ways with NFTs and crypto. So it'll be very interesting. So look, you mentioned CyberFM and your own coin. What's been happening with that? For listeners who may be unfamiliar with Crossover and CyberFM, I should mention that every couple of weeks or so, James and I have a conversation like this. It plays on Blockchain Radio. It also plays on CyberFM. And what's cool about CyberFM is that it's an app that you can download onto your phone. And you can listen to all kinds of musical stations and lots of great outflow of your whatever type of information or music that you like. In our case, of course, we're blockchain, crypto, DeFi, NFT, that space. So it's kind of fun because CyberFM will pay you crypto to learn about crypto when you listen to Blockchain Radio on the CyberFM app on your phone. All right. So with that said, by way of prelude, James, the CyberFM token, how is it going? And what do listeners who may be totally new to this, what do they need to know?
Well, yeah, and CyberFM token has matured quite a bit, as you know, there's a lot of legitimate reasons why a lot of us moved over to Pancake Swap. Binance is what I meant to say, you know, the smart chain. And then you have Tron, which is a decent alternative network. We're looking at Matic and some others, XDAI. So CyberFM is always going to be an Ethereum ERC-20 token because that's the big one. That's the grandma, right? And like you said, when you listen to radio, whether it's music or talk or blockchain radio is our most of our talk anyway, you earn crypto while you learn about crypto on blockchain. So you earn these tokens and then you claim them kind of like payday. We call it payday. Every time there's a payday, we announce it. The website opens up the payment window and they go and they claim their tokens. We have been migrating into more of a DeFi attitude where you take more ownership of the crypto. So we're hoping that the audience has matured a little bit in the crypto world, just like we all have, right? They were learning about crypto. We wanted to speed it up a little bit where now that you've learned, let's see how much you've learned. Let's see if you can earn your own, claim your own, and move your own including wallets, because we give you a wallet if you choose. So now we have the instructional videos up of how you could take that wallet and put it in a system like Trust Wallet, for example, and then start using that wallet for other crypto, right? We're fans of crypto in general. So you've got your CyberVM tokens, you've got your wallet. Please feel free to go learn about another ERC20 token, right? Now, the same also applies to the Binance Smart Chain and Tron. Tron's got a lot of tokens out there, but the core of it's all the same. So that's what we've been focusing on in 21 so far, the first half.
And for the listener who says, all right, how do I get me some of that? What do they have to do?
That's super easy. We are the all new, by the way. You know how radio always becomes fresh and hot? We are the all new cyber.fm. We went ahead and got the .fm domain so that we are cyber.fm. And it even takes me a long time to get used to saying it. So you go over to the all new cyber.fm website and you choose your mobile app, download it on Google Play or the iOS App Store. And once you download your app, you're either crypto savvy already and you have a wallet. But if you're not, you simply collect the select. I said collect. You simply select login. You log in with like Gmail or Apple, and then we will build the wallet for you. And you don't really have to do much after that. Once we build the wallet for you, it's automatically in the app. So that's where you go and you listen to blockchain radio or my shows on Tuesdays and Saturdays or any of the shows that we have on there. We have Instatunes, we have On Demand, we have podcasts where podcasts is where you find my version of the crossover. And then blockchain radio is where you hear the running version of crossover. It's kind of unique too.
All right, so I like all that. Of course, I like that. And I know our listeners are going to like that, and it's well worth downloading and doing it. And listen to blockchain radio. Look, we want you to listen to blockchain radio. And why not do it on the Cyber FM and start to collect some of these tokens? That aside, what else is going on in the Cyber FM world? What else can listeners tap into when they get that app and they start to noodle around it?
We do have some fun things. We have the spin wheel, right? Every single day, you can spin the lucky wheel and you're awarded bonus minutes. I think the max is 2 hours, right? You could literally spin that wheel and land on 120 minutes and you earn crypto, you earn Cyber FM as if you had listened for 2 hours just on the spin, kind of like a game. Now, here's even a life hack. When I'm live on Tuesday nights or I'm live on Saturday nights and or Ricky 14 Style when he's live and when DJ Tony J is live, we've been expanding that too. But when you hear my voice on the air, you're guaranteed to be earning 10 times the normal amount of Cyber FM, right? It's like a marketing, a promotion, a celebration. My shows, you earn 10, we call it a 10x show. You earn 10 times the normal amount. So if you normally earn 200 or 300, you're going to be earning 2 or 3,000. And I think that the really cool life hack, and I do it myself, is that if you spin the lucky wheel during a 10x show and you land on 60 minutes or 120 minutes, it's 10x also because we've turned it on. Are getting savvy to that. They're talking about it in our Telegram. They're like, yeah, I purposely wait on a Tuesday night to spin my wheel when James is on because they know they're getting 10x. But that's
Nice.
fun too.
That is nice. That is nice. Tell me the best thing that's happened to you on Cyber FM since we last spoke a couple of weeks ago, James. What's a standout moment for you as you look back? I know I'm catching you off the cuff, but I'm hoping something really just boom, that's what it was, whatever it may have been.
Oh my God, I did an interview with John Waite. Did you catch my interview with John Waite?
No, I missed that.
Oh, you have to go. You're going to have to look. You're going to have to go into the podcast area and find my John Waite interview. This guy was as normal as people can be. Wild, crazy, right? So John Waite, back in the 80s, he was known as John Waite, and he was also in the band Bad English, right? So you had Missing You. I ain't missing you at all.
I remember that. You. And in fact, that one had a revival in the last couple of years with a mix with somebody else.
We talk about that in the interview.
Okay.
Because of Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. Right? Remember Grand Theft Auto Vice City?
Yeah.
And he shared that he did not own the copyright to Missing You while it was in Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Well.
And we started talking about copyright, which is another Cyber FM business that we're in. But it was amazing. And When I See You Smile, right? That's another, that was a big number one hit. When I See You Smile, I can't sing for my life. That's John Waite. Tremendous interview. It went in an hour, right? How often does some millionaire supergroup rock star give you an hour? Personally, we went an hour and a half talking, and he did some little, hey, this is John Waite, and you're listening to Cyber FM. He did a couple of things where I was like, can I call you dad? And he goes, no. It's the greatest no in the world. He's like, no. But that's how cool he was. That was a high moment the past few weeks. And then after I did the John Waite interview, a flock of seagulls contacted me. I'm dating myself too.
Oh, wow.
So I can't wait to get them. And they were also on Grand Theft Auto Vice City. It's a song I ran.
Oh, yeah, I remember that song. All right. Well, look, all of that is on Cyber FM. I want to close out on that, James, let you get on with your day. But that's the fun of it. There's a lot more than blockchain radio. And yeah, I will toot our horn. You want to learn crypto and earn crypto? That's where you go. Cyber FM, download it. It's free onto your app. And you're going to earn crypto. And it's all aligned with Ethereum, right? The ERC20. So there's some malleability with what you do with those tokens once you get them, and it's a lot of fun. But Cyber FM is a lot more than just us, although we certainly appreciate being there. So James, great fun. Well, I know it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke, but we've covered a fair amount of crypto noise today. The last point, maybe I'll just bring it up because one of the more colorful, let's put it that way, one of the more colorful personalities in the crypto space was found dead in a Spanish jail cell earlier this week, John McAfee. There are some concerns as to whether or not he took his own life or did something else happen to him, something nefarious. John McAfee himself, notwithstanding how he may have died or what prompted it, what to make of his sad ending, and what was his position in the crypto world from your vantage?
Well, let me say this. Being in IT for 30 years, McAfee was an absolute resolution. If you knew anything about cybersecurity, this was the guy that paved the way for, at least on the home user level, absolutely in the commercial enterprise world as well, you know, with McAfee antivirus. He was nothing short of a genius. And I wouldn't allow anybody to take that away from him, right? That's how he became who he is. I think that as the years went on, he may have decided that he had other primary goals in life, right? We know that he had some issues where he dealt with some firearms out of a paranoia, and he began to slowly become a little bit more paranoid. But now there's some argument as to whether or not it was correct for him to be paranoid, right? That's what all the stories are now. The most recent and last thing before he went to jail, he got caught, right, for tax evasion and crypto, and he's saying crypto. One of the last things he did was he created that WACD token. We called it WACD, and it was during the Epstein time because he was so afraid that the government was after him that he had said Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in this ironically, I mean, very similar manner, right? And he had said out loud, "If you ever read about my suicide, just know that I was whacked." And he created the whacked token. He created the McAfee decentralized exchange, which IEO'd the whacked token. And that token was based on that. If you ever find out that I suicided myself, it's not true. I was whacked. And I think that if that continues to be the case, that's a pretty good solid evidence, right? Would you say it's good evidence that he was pre-planning to tell us?
Well, I think it to me it's hard to say. Same with Epstein. Who the heck knows? That guy went
Right, we
from being
don't
able
know.
to that guy went from being able to flit around the world whenever he wanted to being in a jail cell and staring at the bars on his window for the rest of his life. And who knows what goes through your mind if that's your only alternative. And maybe McAfee. I pronounced it McAfee earlier because I was talking to somebody earlier, and they claimed it was McAfee. But whether it's McAfee or McAfee, we had a chance to interview him here on Blockchain Radio several months ago. It didn't come to pass at the end, but that would have been to me a fascinating conversation. You know, they say there's a fine line, a very, very thin fine line between genius and madness, and
Right.
you'll wonder if he tiptoed back and forth over that towards the end there. It's unfortunate that you can find, for listeners who are interested, you can find a lot of YouTube videos about John McAfee that he himself did that were produced about him. I had a lot of material up on the internet, and it's certainly a quite a character
Let
and
me ask you, because then we're going to go over, but is this any different than, say, Tesla, not Elon Musk? But Nikola Tesla, right? Has it ever changed? Or is it always history just repeating itself?
it may be, I don't know, but that's a very good point. And smarter minds than me can ruminate on that. I really don't know, but you're right. You know, history is bound. Look, I'm picking up an old chestnut. History is
Just
bound
the
to repeat
rumors have
itself.
never changed,
Yeah.
right? The rumors have never changed. The paranoia as a collective has always been there. Technology has changed, but there are certain geniuses that, I don't know, is it some sort of level that you hit in life?
It's unfortunate. It's interesting, there's no doubt. All right, James Tiley, we're going to let you get on into your weekend. And to all listeners, both here at Blockchain Radio and there at Cyber FM, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Crossover. James Tiley, over at Cyber FM, you want to do a quick farewell, a sayonara, a goodbye?
I will say, take your time out to learn some crypto while you earn some crypto at the all new cyber.fm.
Love it. Love it. The voice of a good jock. I'm Pierre Bourque in Ottawa, Canada. James Tiley, somewhere along the Florida Georgia line in the United States. And wherever you
Yeehaw.
happen to be in the world, wherever you are, the other side of it or just around the corner from us, thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend. This is Blockchain Radio and Cyber FM.